Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to podcast episode number 164, and I'm recording this on January 8th, 2009, the first podcast of the new year 2009. Well, today I'm going to talk about a book that I recently read. I finished it up back in November of 2008. And the book is entitled Henry Knox, Visionary General of the American Revolution. And the author is Mark Pulls. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the author's last name correctly. His last name is spelled P-U-L-S. And this is a book that I really looked forward to when I first found out that it was coming out in the fall of 2008. And my wife actually gave it to me as a birthday present. And I read it over the fall months of 2008. And I'm just a huge Henry Knox fan. And probably 5 or 6 years ago, I'd heard of Henry Knox, but really didn't know too much about him. And then in studying the American Revolution and getting some things ready for my 8th grade history class, we've really done some things over the last couple of years focusing on the crossing and Washington crossing and attacking at Trenton at Christmas at 1776, especially the movie The Crossing from A&E. And as I watched that movie and I got to know the character Henry Knox a little bit, I've really enjoyed learning more about his life as the years have gone on. And when this book came out, I definitely wanted to read a full biography that just focused on Henry Knox. And so I've really enjoyed this book. I think that Henry Knox is probably one of the most underestimated heroes or under-recognized heroes of the American Revolution. And there's just so many things about Henry Knox that affect our current day military and the way the government is structured that I don't think a lot of people really grasp. But I just wanted to talk about some of the things that Henry Knox did throughout his life. I'm not going to try and, again, recap the entire book, but just some general things that might spark an interest for you to read the book that I'm going to describe today. The thing that initially, like I said, began to really spark things for me was when we looked at how he was really important in getting the artillery across the river when they attacked Trenton, and his responsibility for getting all the cannons and stuff across during that crossing so that they could then attack and have artillery to actually defeat the Hessians at the Battle of Trenton. But there's a lot of other points in the war where things hinge upon whether or not the artillery can get to a specific point, and Henry Knox is the person that does that. And just even the beginning part of his life, he's living in Boston, he's a young boy, and he's without a father at the age of 10, and he starts working in a bookstore to help, create enough money for his family to survive, and really is a self-taught person as far as learning about the military. He would listen to people talk about the military, he'd listen to the British generals come in and talk about different things, and people that were with the British artillery. And really, he just taught himself about how war and artillery were used together. And then, of course, he met his wife. And in Boston, his wife was from a Tory family. And I always find it fascinating how the American Revolution divided so many families. And he met his wife. And his wife basically had to make a decision eventually between staying with Henry Knox, who was siding with the colonists, or going with her family. And eventually her family leaves America, goes back to England, and she stays with Henry. And I really wonder how many people think about the personal ramifications that some of these people had to do. Look at Henry Knox's situation. You meet somebody that you love, you're growing up in Boston, she's from a fairly wealthy family, and they support the British, they're Tories. It would have been very easy for him to just go ahead and go with that family back to England, He probably would have been financially secure for the rest of his life. He would still be with the woman that he loves. But instead, you know, he feels principled to stay with the American colonists and actually contribute to the cause, and, you know, takes a completely different route in life that I'm sure would have been, you know, a lot easier if he had left and gone to England with the Tories and with the family. But he decides to stand up for his principles. And then the fact that he is present at the Boston Massacre, and they don't have any total proof, but most likely he was at the Boston Tea Party. He was at those two huge events that really kind of triggered a lot of the feelings towards the American Revolution. And then the fact that when Boston is under British command, and the colonial troops need some way to drive the British out of Boston, he comes up with this plan that he can go up to Fort Ticonderoga in upstate New York and bring back the cannons. He has to bring back 60 cannons, like 300 miles. It's, you know, carrying cannons over frozen lakes and, you know, over mountains and through forests and stuff. And Washington doesn't even really think he can do it, but yet Washington gives him permission to try. He brings them back, and basically that's the thing that allows the American colonists to drive the British from Boston. He was extremely instrumental in getting artillery at crucial battles throughout the American Revolution, including Yorktown. He was the person that helped line up some of the artillery so that the British couldn't escape through the land routes. And then after the war, his legacy almost becomes even greater. He becomes the first Secretary of War for General Washington. He envisions really the current plan of government, and thinks out eventually some of the major principles that are brought out in the Constitution. And even though he wasn't at the Constitutional Convention, we know that he definitely has an impact. He has Washington's ear, and he's talked to various people throughout the convention. And he has this vision of what the United States government should look like. He envisions what West Point Military Academy should look like, and is basically the founding father for that. He envisions the way the Navy should be, and made some crucial decisions about the early United States Navy, and helps that succeed at an early age. He basically convinces Washington to really honestly think about accepting the role as the first president of the United States. He was very influential in Washington's life, and Washington was very influential in his life. So he had many, many ties to George Washington, and part of it was convincing him to step up and be the first president. And then beyond all the military experiences and the things that he did as far as being a leadership figure, he had an incredible and fascinating relationship with his wife, Lucy. They had 12 children, and they lost 9 of them before adulthood to a variety of different kinds of tragedies. Now, I'm the father of 2 young girls. I cannot imagine what it would be like to lose 9 of your children before they reach adulthood. And, you know, even given the time period of colonial America and those types of things, they had a tragedy after tragedy that he had to come overcome with his wife, and it was heartbreaking to learn about all these things that happened to his children as he went through the book. But yet, he did have a very enjoyable life with his wife, and he did enjoy the family that he had. So if you like reading about the American Revolution, and you know, maybe you've read quite a bit about some of the more central figures, you know, John Adams, you know, George Washington and stuff, I think that if you read this book on Henry Knox, you'll be fascinated to see how Henry Knox's life is weaved into the entire American Revolution and then the beginning years of the United States government. It was a really easy read. I enjoyed reading it. It read well. And like I said at the beginning, I really think Henry Knox is probably one of the more underappreciated heroes of the American Revolution. And I think it's fascinating when kids hear about people like Henry Knox, because they hear about George Washington so much, and they hear about, you know, just a couple different figures, but you can bring up personal examples from Henry Knox's life, and it makes the entire American Revolution kind of come to life a little bit more for him. And I will have a link on the blog, which is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. That'll take you to more information about the book. But definitely a great read. Check out your library, buy it at a local bookstore, and I think you'll definitely enjoy reading about this Revolutionary War hero. So thanks for listening to Speaking of History, kind of a short podcast tonight, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.